heard of Alibaba? 40 thieves had he. Out for what? We all want loads of LSD. He also had a camel. He stole it from a zoo. And how he loved that camel, and the camel loved him too.
Oh, how the camel loved him too.
Alibaba's camel loved Alibaba so. No matter where he went to, the camel had to go. Some say that he's in heaven, oh, but this I know is true. Wherever you think Alan's gone, his camel's gone there too. La 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 la. Poor old Alibaba cursed and swore because he was so very thirsty. And everybody knows it's horrible to walk for miles with sand between your toes. Alibaba's camel turned round and licked his hand. He said, "Oh, Alibaba, I'm sure you'll understand. We must find an oasis and get a drink somehow. But hark, I hear the temple bells. They'll all be open now." They entered for the races at the desert sports. There goes Ali's camel in his filthy cotton shorts. The starter clicked his pistol off the camel's head, and Alibaba's camel wins by half a camel's hair.
By Jove, I've never seen anything like it here at the sand races. There goes Alibaba's camel straight to the winning post.
Alibaba's camel had run for miles and miles. His tail was pointing backwards. That's how a camel smiles. But Ali and his camel, they both were out of breath. They'd run so far, they'd laugh so much, they'd laugh themselves to death. Oh, gather around the campfire and sing the roundelette. But don't sing out of tune now. Sing of Alibaba and sing about his men. Sing about his camel and then sing it all again. Alibaba's camel loved Alibaba so. No matter where he went to, that camel had to go. Some say that he's in heaven, but this I know as well. Wherever you think Ali's gone, his camel's gone to hell. Now the trouble with Carruthers was that he had no empathy for the natives, no sympathy with their simple tribal taboos. After that fearful business with the Bongos and the chieftain's hut, he knew he wouldn't be safe for a radius of 100 miles. Yet still the damn fool tried to beat the vendetta. It was his simple belief that the closer his soul was to heaven, the less chance there was of one of these coal black buggers sneaking up on him in the dark. He took to sleeping up trees. Simple idea. But he hadn't reckoned on the mosquitoes. They were particularly vicious that time of year, as I recall. Rooter the size of penguins. Hideous things. It was no time at all before they'd sucked the life out of the poor blighter. I believe it was Carstairs discovered him, or what was left of him, clinging to the side of the tree like some soiled piece of linen. Brought him down, couldn't bear to see a white man dangling in the breeze that way. Wrapped him up in a flag and sent him back to the Mamsab. Pity in a way that he hadn't the foresight to send a note with it. Poor woman had no idea what it was. Thought it to be some kind of peculiar native fetish. Had it nailed to the study wall, as I recall. It was years before anyone had the heart to tell her. It was curiosity that got Simpson. damned fool. We all warned him. Don't take the maracas apart to see what makes them rattle, but would he listen? Well, alone in his room that night, he split them with his camping safari knife. And up they tumbled. They'd been in there for years. They were so damned hungry, they'd have eaten anything. Simpson was easy meat, whittled him down to a cocktail stick. The hotel porter heard him screaming. Did his best, of course, but it was far too late. There was nothing left but kneecaps and teeth. Vicious business. By now, the men were getting nervous. The heat can drive a white man crazy in a place like this. It was Smithson that copped it next. Damned fool, always bragging about his whiskers. Told everybody, man and boy, hadn't seen his face for 27 years. Of course, foolishly, he got drunk in the mess with all the other chaps. They thought it'd be a bit of a lark to shave his whiskers off. Well, it would have gone well enough had he not woken up in a fever dream. Sat bolt upright in bed and caught a glimpse of himself in the mirror. Thought he saw a stranger in bed with his wife. Reached for his service pistol and fired two shots in the dark. Bang, bang. Paper thin walls in those hotels. Bloody bullets went straight through. Straight into the servants' quarters, took out the sous chef and the saucier. Manager was very contrite, but unfortunately the food was terrible for months afterwards. As for Magnuson, victim of his own passions, as ever. Didn't take long before he went native. Couldn't keep a gun clean, but he earned my undying respect with that business with the tiger. What can you do? Frozen to the spot. 8 feet of charging, stripy, teethy fury. Charging straight at you and not a weapon in sight. Well, there was Magnuson, cool as a cucumber, rammed his arm straight down the tiger's throat and grabbed it by the tongue. The tiger was completely unable to close its jaws, and Magnuson was unable to retreat. So for 4 days they faced each other off, staring deep into each other's eyes. Magnuson into the cool amber of a snarling tiger, and the tiger into the icy blue stare of Magnuson. It was incredible to think even now that they held on for so long. Magnuson and the tiger, both of them exhausted, hungry, and desperate to get away. We don't know for sure the exact details of this remarkable standoff, but what we do know is that after about a fortnight, the tiger gave up the ghost, dropped dead from the combined effects of dehydration, starvation, and boredom. This would have been brilliant news for Magnuson, had he been in any condition to receive it, that is. Sadly, he'd been dead probably considerably longer than the tiger. It was rigor mortis that had kept him standing there so long. Doctors say he died of fright. Of course, that's not the way they tell it down at the Explorers Club.
Tiger's table manners have no place. Dear, 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 oh, dear, 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 oh, dear, dear, tell me no. After they have eaten you, they never say their grace. Dear, 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 oh, dear, 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 oh, dear, dear, tell me no. Hunting tigers can be wicked fun. Like 3 blind mice see hunters run. Hunting tigers out in India. Out in, out in, out in India. You all know how beastly tigers are. Out in, out in, out in India. They bite, they scratch, they make an awful fuss. It's no good stroking them and saying, puss, puss, puss. No hunting tigers out in India. Out in, out in, out in India.
Good Lord, Smithson. You're supposed to be dressed for dinner. What is that awful rag you're wearing?
That is a pigskin jacket. It's very fashionable.
Pigskin?
Yes.
Well, I thought it looked a lot better on the pig.
Nice.
I suggest you take it off immediately. You'll attract the tigers.
They bite, they scratch, they make an awful fuss. It's no good stroking them and saying, puss, puss, puss. Hunting tigers out in India. Out in, out in, out in India.
A thousand curses on this damned evil wind. Admiral, quickly a fresh shirt.
Tigers don't go out on rainy nights. They've no need to whet their appetite.
Hunting tigers out in India. Out in, out in, out in India.
How many tigers can you find with forks and serviettes?
Dear, 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 oh, dear, 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 oh, dear, 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 me now.
Don't care in what part of you they fix their fretwork sets.
Dear, 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 oh, dear, 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 no. Hunting tigers can be really fun. Like three blind mice see the hunters run. Hunting tigers out in India. Out in, out in, out in India. Hunting tigers out in India. Out in, out in, out in India.
Now Pew had a great fear of snakes. And we have a particularly nasty one in this part of the world. It's called the assassin snake. A horrible little yellow and black spotted swine. It has a particularly vicious venom. After about a week of fever, it turns a man's flesh to jelly. Now Pew, making his way back from the officer's mess, drunk as usual, tripped over the guy ropes of his tent and exposed what he took to be an assassin snake lurking there in the sheets. He did what any man might have done. He seized it roughly, worked his fingers up its spine and crushed the poison sacs in its throat, thus rendering it, he hoped, harmless. And so he might have done, had it not been the tail of a leopard that he just seized. Silly man, we'd warned him before about leaving food in his tent at night. I have to say, I'd never met a man who'd survived crushing a leopard's testicles. I'd never seen a fellow so hideously mauled. Of course, it's not just the snakes that are poisonous around here. Almost everything is. Particularly unpleasant are the spiders, some of which can grow to the size of a man's hand. Black, hairy beasts they are. We call them the tarantula. Hibbertson fell foul of one of these. He was bitten very badly in the tendrils. Of course, Smith rushed to his aid immediately, tried to suck the poison out. We all warned him, but it was no good. Poor old Smith, he meant well, but with the first suck, his lips swelled up like balloons. Now, the natives, superstitious lot, I know, but they knew of a dance called the Dance of the Tarantula. They swore by it, suggested that a man who danced the Dance of the Tarantula could sweat the poison out of his system. Damn good idea in principle, and old Hibbertson gave it a jolly good try. Hours, hopping from one note to the other, screaming at the top of his voice, by Jove, he looked ill. Funny thing is, I think he might almost have beaten it, had it not been for the fact that he danced right off the edge of a cliff. But then he always was an appalling dancer, that Hibbertson.